Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Last year, I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made.
It's time for Dirt and Spring.
You're talking to the Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing, kiss-stealing,
with Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Wheeling-dealing, limousine-wreck, jet-flying, son of a gun.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Second hour, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan. I hope your Thursday afternoon's going well. Our two stops on the ticker, very informative. Don't bank on Dan Snyder changing his team's name. And Justin Spears, who covers the Arizona program as well as anybody, says he would actually probably bet the latter, that they're probably going to look to spring football if they don't have classes in the fall on campus. So
it's going to be weird, man.
It's going to be odd. We don't know what's going to happen. Some people are optimistic it's going to happen. Some people kind of pessimistic and thinking it's going to get pushed back. But those were our two stops on the ticker. I saw this note, Zach Collins. I know we've kind of passed this along before, but he's doing an interview before they head to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
On the conference call, he says that he's got no shoulder limitations.
That is awesome news.
He says physically it feels like he didn't even have surgery, and he's got no minutes restrictions, so he is going to be full board, ready to go.
Let's go. I might throw a couple of bucks on him. Why not? They're like 10,000-to-1 odds to win the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, for
Somebody
sure.
Somebody gives you those odds, you might as well take them. It has been, by the way, I think only, what, 9 NBA players test positive, so not bad numbers for them. Quarantine for a couple of weeks, and then retest when you get to Orlando. It has been fun, though, and maybe I just missed this in the reading up on it. Everybody's sending their floors?
Yeah, they get their own floor.
See, I totally missed that. So I saw that, like, Indiana tweeted today. They're, like, popping up all over the place. It's like, dude, their floors are in Orlando. Like,
did you see the court, or just did you hear that their floors are
No,
going?
I saw the floors.
They're
yeah.
right next to each other.
Yeah, they're doing it, like, in a big ballroom. Yeah. And they're just, like, floor next to floor next to floor next to floor. So hopefully there's, like, four games going on at the same time, like an old school basketball tournament.
It's
going to
be like a summer AAU
dude,
tournament.
I'm all for it, man. It was pretty kick-ass.
And if you were like me wondering, hey, what's Steven Adams been doing of the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Yeah, what has Steven Adams been doing?
Of Pittsburgh Panther fame. He flew back to New Zealand once COVID hit.
Oh, did he really?
And they asked him if he's been training, and he said, yeah, I've been boxing out cows and all that, bro.
Just a national treasure, man.
He really is. His family is a huge farm, so he probably just goes down there and hangs out.
Now, what's the don't you have to be quarantined for 2 weeks when you come from out of the country?
Well, I'd imagine he's already back.
Okay, he's probably already back. Okay.
I think he probably got back to Oklahoma because I think teams were trying to go back to their hubs.
Gotcha.
Practice a little bit and then go to Orlando collectively.
Did you know he has like 18 siblings?
I think he's got 9. I think, and he's the youngest. He's the youngest of 9.
Added a 1 to that.
Look up Steven Adams' family.
Look up his sister.
Yeah, she's like
an Olympic athlete.
Weightlifter?
She's a beast, yeah. The Steven
I'm counting
Adams.
1, 2, 3, 4. I'm only counting 4 siblings.
Oh no, that's much.
No,
more.
He's got like he's got like 9.
His parents put in work.
Yeah,
so the Google machine.
It's he's got a Philip Rivers situation going on in his family.
Sid Adams was a member of the English Royal Navy and fathered his 18 children with 5 different women.
18, yeah.
Although some say it's actually 21 with 6 different women. Hey-o! Jeez. She was okay. having some fun, man.
I thought it was just like one woman that did all that. I was like, my God.
So no, five different women. And apparently, yeah, he has, there's 18 of them. So he has 17 siblings.
So his dad put in
17. More. God.
You know, different moms and that kind of stuff. But yeah, 17, either full or half siblings.
Okay. This is going to sound really bad. There's a chance you're forgetting some of those names, right?
Yeah.
Because well, you're not seeing some of these kids as often as you are the others. There's going to be one of five.
18's a lot.
One of those five women hates your guts and wants nothing to do with you. The odds speak to that.
Well, remember Antonio Cromartie in Hard Knocks when he was naming his nine children and he was starting to stumble over. He's like, I got a two-year-old named...
Yeah, he did. He struggled when he got to like 8 and 9.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're talking
17, 20, 18,
yeah, you're definitely forgetting one or two of those.
By the way, Valerie Adams, who is his sister that you talked about, she's like an Olympic shot putter, whatever you call it. Dude, whoa.
Yeah.
Tank.
Yeah.
Like that. That girl would do some damage.
Is she like a Miss Trunchbull from Matilda?
Yeah. Yes.
I think
yes.
she's bigger than Miss Trunchbull. Isn't she like 6'4"
that
or something?
That little fat kid eating the chocolate cake is just crying.
You can do it, Percy.
Dude, she is an absolute machine, man.
I say my daughter's names backwards all the time.
My parents do that.
Right? But that's two kids.
That's two. At least it's not forgetting. I think that's just old age and letting one slip every now and then.
What do you think the kids are thinking if they forget a name, though? Like, if your dad comes up to you and goes,
hey, you?
Like, and you know he doesn't know your name.
Dad? I don't think it would be about forgetting the name. I think it would be, as Joe said, an Antonio Cromartie situation where you would, like, if you said, hey, can you name all 18 of your kids? He could probably rattle off, like, the first four or five pretty quick. And then as you get further down the list, especially if you ask him to do it in order, you would start to slow down a little bit.
Did you see the story? Sorry, you just reminded me. Did you see the 89-year-old that had a kid?
I did see a headline about that, yeah.
Bernie,
he's like the head of
he's like the F1
IndyCar, guy. F1, yeah.
He's a billionaire F1 guy.
Wow.
He's 89. His wife is 44.
Dude, this is something to be celebrated. First off, 89 to 44 is a great age gap. Also, his boys still swim at 89.
So you're saying that when he was 55 and she was born, this was totally normal?
No, I'm saying if you're 89 and you can date a 44-year-old, you're doing that in a heartbeat.
Oh, I guess it'd be 45, not 55.
Yeah, if you 45
years old and then she's born?
You'd do that in a heartbeat.
No.
Sprague is an 89-year-old billionaire and some hot, smoking 44-year-old comes up to you.
Jimmy Goldstein already does this.
You were jumping all over that.
His oldest daughter, 65.
You want him to date an 80-year-old?
How about a 60-year-old?
No, why are we going? Then that's still weird. Then he's 29 when the kid's born, if you want to play your weird game.
I got to tell you, I think it's weird when you date somebody
you can't
that's
think
younger,
of it that way.
When that's younger than your oldest kid.
Well, of course it's weird.
His oldest kid is 65 years old.
Dude, can we at least applaud him for his boy still swimming at 89?
Don't all men's boys still swim?
I thought they stopped swimming eventually. Right? Like, are
well,
you
we don't get menopause.
I know we don't, but
I just turned to dust in there or something.
You were fully functioning at the age of 89. Bunch of swimmers still in there? I didn't think that was
that is impressive.
Oh,
yeah.
89. He's 89 years old. Still pumping him out.
A white flag bang comes out.
By the way, she totally did this knowing he's probably dying in 4 years, and she's going to get a piece of that billion-dollar estate, right?
For sure she did.
God, 89.
I'd do the same thing, man.
You know what? You're applauding it. And to a certain degree, I totally get where you're coming from. Do we not feel bad? This kid's not going to know the dad at all.
I mean, you feel a little bad,
this
but
dad's
he's also going to
be
grow
dead.
Up really rich because he's a billionaire. So, you know, there's a trade-off there. Not going to know the dad, but really rich.
So you'd give up your dad if you were really rich?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there are trade-offs. So let's not act like this kid was born in like the middle of Africa with no clothes or no
absolutely.
Water. He's going to have an okay life.
Born in a Chinese village poor.
He's going to be just fine.
You're eating COVID meat?
Yeah, he's going to be
not good.
Right.
Not good. Yeah, so kid news there and big family news. Steven Adams was training with cows and Zach Collins ready to play. That's good to know.
That was a good all-around segment. I like that one.
Also, Zach Collins, I guess, is saying with a confident manner that they're going to the second round. So,
okay, so we're getting to the playoffs and then knocking out LA in the first round. I'm all for it. That'd be pretty sweet.
I am too. But if you get swept, boy, oh boy, there needs to be a conversation to be had here. All right, coming up next, Fox pisses people off in college football, primarily just people on our side. And we'll talk about that next on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
If you had to start over with your fandom, what teams would you pick to root for, and what would your criteria be now versus when you became a fan of your team, presumably in your youth? I have an answer that's going to come out of right field.
Okay. Are you re-choosing all of your fandoms or just one of your fandoms?
We'll find out.
Okay.
At the bottom of the hour.
I like it.
I think I know where you're going to go.
Well, there's some that are I wouldn't re-choose Portland because I'm from Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to re-choose Oregon because I went to Oregon. So those two I left off the table.
Hmm.
Because I think those are built-in.
I don't think you re-choose baseball either. That's too tied into your blood.
Well, no, I am going the re-choosing of baseball and the re-choosing of football. If I were to re-choose with everything that I know now.
Wow.
We'll get to that.
I guess when they don't win titles in even years anymore, he goes away, huh?
Maybe I'm going to pick him again. You never know.
We'll talk about that and explain where we came from or why or how we came up with that idea. We actually stole it from somebody, but we'll explain that at the bottom of the hour. Fox College Football, remember their show is called Big Noon Kickoff?
The Big Noon Kickoff.
I would call our show something like that. the Big Noon Letdown with Dirt and Spray.
How about instead of the Big Noon Kickoff or the Big Noon Punt? The BNP. Welcome into the BNP. Dude, sometimes you got to punt. Sometimes you got to live to find another down, man. We're not turning that ball over. We're not forcing an issue. We're punting them. We're pinning them deep.
Yeah, but we would leave ourselves open to people just telling us they're punting on listening to our show all the time.
Or they're blocking our punt.
Yeah.
Running it back for a touchdown.
Well, you know, look, these happen every year, and it seems like we bring it up, but I wanted to pass it along nonetheless. Big Noon's Kickoff, who has two USC gentlemen on it with Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart, along with Urban Meyer and Brady Quinn. And is it Kevin Burkhard?
Not Kevin Burkhard. It's the other blonde head bro.
Him, Klatt, and Burkhard are kind of the same.
I feel like it's Rob something. Rob Stone. Rob Stone.
Rob Stone. Thank you. I actually don't mind their panel. I got to see it a little bit last year in their first debut season, but they're doing video shorts throughout this offseason, mm-hmm. and they ranked the Power 5 conferences. Do you have it in front of you? And if you don't, can you guess them?
I could guess it because I did see it earlier. But, I mean, SEC's number one, Big Ten's number two. I think they went Big 12 3, ACC 4, Pac-12 5.
Yeah, the Pac-12 is dead last. They say the Pac-12 is the worst Power 5 conference.
How dare they?
I know. I'm outraged. I'm so triggered.
I did enjoy seeing the outrage on Twitter this morning. Let me tell you how this probably worked. They were probably spitballing ideas in like a 30-minute production meeting of what should they talk about. Somebody threw out the idea of ranking the conferences. They probably took 2 or 3 minutes to come up with this ranking and then did an entire show on it, and we react to it like it's gospel and this is the truth. Let me go ahead and
we do a radio show. Let me just tell you that's exactly how they prepped.
Let me go
that's
ahead
exactly what happened
and fire this off as a preemptive shot. I'm gonna go like Eminem rap battle.
Okay,
I'm gonna take your ammunition away from you,
Joe. Can we
not
get
yours?
Can we get a beat for him?
The preemptive listener. I'm gonna take the ammunition away. The Pac-12 sucks. Okay, I'm just gonna start there. Pac-12 sucks. Now let's move on. They're not the worst Power 5 conference.
No.
Okay? Like,
no.
This is
not
stupid. They're not.
They're not.
If you want to just use the simple metric of having one good team, then go ahead and put the ACC ahead of them. That's stupid, top to bottom. It's not close.
It's
the
Pac-12
is better than the ACC.
Yeah.
So I'm not losing sleep over this. It's pretty stupid.
I'd put a mortgage payment that the Pac-12 from top to bottom is better than the ACC.
You know who the second best team in the ACC was last year?
Virginia?
It was Virginia. Virginia.
What were they?
Virginia.
6-6? 7-5.
They were 8-5 or 7-. Did they win their bowl game? No, they lost their. They were 9-3, I guess, technically. And then they got smoked by Clemson in the AFC title.
Well, they're 9-3 because they got to play ACC teams.
ACC title game, and then they lost their bowl game. Virginia was the second best team in the ACC last year. And if you just go down the hypothetical, let's say Virginia and Utah play, like, come on. Utah's winning that game.
I think you kind of have to, when these rankings come out, I think you kind of have to just accept to know that you're going to be last in the Pac-12 unless you win a football championship, because that's basically the only way they rate this.
You know what their non-conference schedule was last year, Virginia's? This was their they play four, because they play 8 conference games in the ACC.
Oh, that's right.
Their non-conference schedule, now I think Notre Dame technically counts as a non-conference game, but they play like a hybrid ACC schedule, but I think that counts as a non-conference
game.
Yeah,
they're a de facto ACC team.
So they play at Notre Dame, and they got smoked. Their other non-conference games were William and Mary.
That's a good program.
Old Dominion.
Mary used to be really good, and then William kind of took it over.
Yeah, William ruined that thing. Old Dominion.
I used to root for Old Dominion basketball.
By the way, they beat Old Dominion 28-17. And then they had a big bout against Liberty on November 23rd.
Hugh Freeze, hello?
So they were 9-3 in the regular season. Those were three of their wins.
So wait a minute. Did you just tell me that they handled the parenting duo of William and Mary?
Yes, they did.
They dominated the veteran Old Dominion.
Yes, they did. Old Dominion, Dominion didn't stand a chance, 28-17.
And they beat Team Jesus
at
Liberty?
They beat Liberty. Not just Liberty, but Liberty, Liberty,
Liberty.
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 He took them down 55-27. Oh, so that was their non-conference schedule to get to 9-3.
Was that the game Hugh Freeze was coaching from a medical bed?
From his hospital bed up in the booth. So that's where Virginia is. So it's just funny how we do stuff like this and we react, because there's things that you can point against for every conference. And again, I'll go back to what I started with. The Pac-12 sucks.
Like, the only thing you point against the SEC, to be honest with you, is that they play eight conference games. That's my only
SEC's knock. SEC's the best conference. Yeah. I'm not going to deny it. And the Big Ten's the second best conference. Deny it.
Yep.
The other three are jumbled together based on the metrics you want to use, right? The Big 12 has only had one team that's ever gone to the college football playoff. Breaking news, they've never won a game, but we act like that's not that big of a deal, including getting absolutely mollywopped by LSU this last year in a game that nobody wanted to watch.
That game sucked.
So, yeah, and they've had back-to-back, or not anymore, but they had back-to-back Heisman-winning quarterbacks, and they got blown out in two of their last three playoff games, but apparently that's a no-countsies for them. They're the only big... they're the only conference that's only sent one team to the playoff, and they've never won a game. And then the ACC has one team. They have one team. They have Clemson, and Clemson's great. Clemson's won national titles. They're in contention year in and year out. They will be the favorites if there's a season this coming up year. There's no doubt about it. But they have one team, and the rest of the conference is absolute trash. So the Pac-12 has a long playoff drought, yes, but at least they have a playoff win, and they've sent multiple teams in Oregon and Washington. And they don't have the top-end talent that a Clemson does in the ACC, but from top to bottom, it's a better conference than the ACC.
Who in the ACC has made the playoff?
Clemson and Florida State.
Oh, that's right.
Florida State
the first,
went the first year,
right?
Florida State went the first year.
So Clemson has five of their six appearances.
Yes.
The SEC has seven. I'd be really... Georgia, Bama.
LSU.
LSU.
Is anybody we're missing this made it out of the SEC?
Well, Bama has been there multiple times.
Yes. Yeah. So has Georgia, I believe.
Yeah, Georgia's been twice. Bama's been...
I don't think Auburn's been to a playoff. I think the last time they were the... Because remember, they got screwed because they lost the SEC title game to Georgia after they beat Alabama, and then Alabama got in.
Alabama
should have been in that year.
But they've had seven. Those are primarily dominated by two teams. The Big 12 has had four. Oklahoma is 0-4 in those. The Pac-12, two. The Big 10, four.
And the Big 10 sent Michigan State was their other team that is gone. Michigan State went the 1 year, and they got smoked by Alabama.
Yeah, the college football appearance by conference things also kind of... a bunch of malarkey, like the ACC touting six. You mean from your one team?
Yeah,
five of the six.
And,
come
on. Only one for Florida State.
It's ridiculous.
And that's where the Pac-12 lags behind. They've only had two appearances in Oregon and Washington, and they've only won one of those games. They're now, one in, what would it be, two in playoff era.
I did see this one. The ACC can suck on this fat one.
Oh,
Madden 21 has a franchise mode.
Okay.
And they're going to allow you to play 10 college programs on this game.
So I think this is, and you want me to put my nerd hat on here?
I would love, because I don't know video games. So
I believe,
I'm just reading what I'm seeing on this.
Yeah, I've gotten more into the vids since the COVID hit because, you know, there's no sports and stuff. I believe this is like a if you create a player kind of thing. So they have
what
like
school
a,
they can
a
be
mode
from?
That you can like go play college and then get drafted.
Okay.
And I believe that is the case where you can go play your guy at that school for 2 years and then you get drafted by an NFL team.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Here are the 10 teams: Clemson, Florida, LSU, Miami, Michigan State, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Oregon, USC, and Texas.
Who's the most random team in there?
I would say right now it's probably Nebraska.
You go Nebraska,
given how irrelevant they are. Well, Miami's pretty irrelevant too.
Miami is very really irrelevant.
Okay.
What's more popular, you think, Miami or Nebraska right now?
Ooh. I mean, Nebraska's been better.
Well, but like, who do?
Thank you. I'm trying to think.
Kettle meat pot.
Well, I was gonna say, I think the U logo is, I don't know if it's more recognizable than the N, though.
Although, did you see the tweet the other day of somebody, I can't remember if it was somebody local or not, but I saw it circulating on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
they tweeted out a picture of the Nebraska football helmet, and they said their son saw it and immediately said, I want to go play for Netflix.
Ouch. That's I think when you...
I mean, it's the end. It's the same thing.
I think that's when you know your program has kind of gone into the crapper, okay. Is when your reference does Netflix and not Nebraska anymore.
And that was like a very young child. So it should be noted, I think it was like a three-year-old kid or something that said, Daddy, Netflix.
I'm going to say Miami more popular than Nebraska, and I have no metrics to back that up.
Popular, probably you're right there. I think the U, 30
yeah.
for 30 helped mm-hmm. a little bit. They're still cool, even though they've been irrelevant. Looking at the last handful of years, I mean, really, there's not that big of a difference. Nebraska's most recent 10-win season was in 2012.
Miami just had that 1 year.
And they 2 years ago, they went to the Orange Bowl.
The turnover chain.
Yeah, and they won, like, their first 12 game or 12, maybe like 10 or 11, and then they lost three in a row to like end the season.
Remember, we went to the Bendale Trail and they destroyed Notre Dame. We saw it at Worthy Brewing.
Yeah. They did. Yeah,
like,
we watched
this game got out of hand.
They started that season undefeated, and then I'm pretty sure they went and lost the final three.
That's right. It was Georgia's old coach, Richt.
Mark Richt's
first year, I think it was.
Yeah, Joe was right. They started 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-0, and then they lost to Pitt on November 24th, 24-14, and then they got smoked by Clemson in the ACC title game, and then they lost in the Orange Bowl to Wisconsin, 34-24.
So
they ended on a three-game losing streak to finish 10-3 after starting 10-0. That was in 2017.
Gotcha.
Do you think top to bottom Pac-12 is better than the Big 12? Oklahoma, probably the best team. But if you like went team for team, let's say Oklahoma beats Oregon, and then you match up everybody else after that, Washington.
That's really tough, man, because Baylor's got it going again a little bit, but we'll see what they can do without Matt Rule. Texas, I mean, look, we make fun of them because they're not the Texas of old. No, they're not back. But, like, Texas would be to I mean, they smoked Utah in the Alamo Bowl. I think bowl games are a bad representation.
I don't think Utah wanted to be there.
I know, but they dominated Utah in that game. Oklahoma State's a decent program. They took care of Oregon State early on. Kansas State's always... decent. Iowa State's got a good little thing going under Campbell. TCU, I think you expect to bounce back under Gary Patterson. They had a down season last year at 5-7. That one's tough. I think you could go either way on that one. If you want to argue top to bottom, the Pac-12 has the benefit of having more teams than the Big 12 does. So at least you get that benefit there. But yeah, I think that's an up in the air debate for me.
I'm proud of us. We didn't get outraged by this.
No, I don't get outraged by these kinds of things. Also, the ACC is the worst football conference in the country, and it's not really debatable. You can't just count one team and say that's a better conference. That's not how it works. There's 14 teams in the ACC. There's only one that's any good.
And 13 of them suck.
And they only play 8 conference games, too. Their conference sucks. At least with the SEC, they play 8 conference games, and you can say the conference schedule is tough. That's why they play 8. The ACC is just dog-ass, and they only play 8.
By the way, of the Power 5 the last 10 years, can you guess who has the worst bowl game winning percentage?
Is it the Pac-12? We had a year where we were like 1-8. I know that.
We did have a year where we were 1-8.
Is it not us? We're not the worst?
We're not the worst.
ACC.
Nope.
Oh, SEC.
Nope.
Okay, there's only 2 more left. Big 12.
No.
Hey,
the Big 10!
You suck, Big 10.
Yeah, you do. Suck 45% of the time.
Yeah, terrible.
All right, we got a lot to get to. We got a Sprague the Line, Joe's Bag of Plums, Jeffrey Epstein's weird girlfriend gets arrested, favorite sports teams, crunch time. If you had to repick your favorite sports teams, what would be your criteria now as an adult versus when you probably became a fan at a much younger, immature age? What would you change and who would you pick? You can let us know at the fan text line. We'll dive into this and explain why we're doing it next. But first, Joe with the sports update.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Game 137. Hope your Thursdays are going well. Everybody's geared up for the 4th of July. We'll get to Joe's Plums coming up final hour. We will Sprague the Line because we don't have a show tomorrow. We got a Sprague the Line today at 2:30. Get those fake sponsors in 503-250-1080.
I also forgot the Rob Manfred stuff.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. I got it in my notes.
That's not going to go well in the grievance part of their filing, is it?
I got that in my notes. No, I saw this on Twitter earlier this morning. We got some buddies that do sports radio over in Omaha, and we got to know them when we went out for the Oregon-Nebraska game, and we did a show at their studio, and they came on our show, and we went on their show. It was a lot of fun, and we follow each other on Twitter, and we've stayed in contact over the last couple of years. And they came up with a show topic today that I saw, and I was like, dude, we need to steal this. This is phenomenal. So their idea for a segment, I want to throw this out to every listener, and we'll all play along together, if you will. And their idea for the show is this. If you could start your sports fan life over, all over again, okay, right now, whatever age you are, on July 2nd at 1:37 p.m., you're wiping the slate clean. Knowing what you know now about everything that's gone on in the leagues your entire life, how teams have done, all that stuff, and you could pick a new favorite team, you can choose one league, all leagues, however many you want, what criteria would you choose and what team would you choose?
So I'm going. Okay, so I'm restarting today. I'm not going back in time.
You're restarting. You know everything that's happened. You know the history.
Yeah.
Which teams would you repick?
This is a pretty simple answer for me, Bob. I am choosing to not be a fan of any team. I'm going all in on being a fan of athletes.
You're just going individual players, really.
I am abandoning all allegiances.
There's no fun in that.
Absolutely there is.
No. Yeah. Boo.
Hey,
boo.
Hey. Wait.
Oh, you got a heart of coal over there. Come on.
Yeah.
LeBron's going to the Heat.
Yeah, don't be that fan. Nobody likes that fan.
I kind of did that anyway.
You're going to show up to a Blazer game in a LeBron Cavs jersey, a LeBron Miami jersey, and a LeBron LA jersey? Get out of here.
Dude.
Boo this man.
Sports are better when we don't have a team. I'm just going to throw that out now.
No, the heartbreak is what makes it fun.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Yeah, and it is.
Either one of you jackasses can't say that because your football team in college is good.
They haven't won a national title. Just stating facts here. They've not won a national title.
Yeah, I guess winning the conference in the damn Rose Bowl means nothing.
Hey, a standard has been set, okay? When you go to the Natty twice, I mean, the expectations change.
You had a Niners Super Bowl in your youth. You had a Braves World Series in your youth.
Yeah,
you've had College World Series championships aplenty in your adulthood.
Okay. First, in my youth. Yeah. When I was like 9.
So it counts. That's a counties.
So excited when that happened at a 9-year-old versus what it'd be like now as an adult.
Now imagine, though, all that heartbreak that you built up since your youth, how much better it would feel to watch one of your teams win a championship. You understand it. You know the ups and the downs. You know the pains.
I will say the one thing I would probably for sure change, and I hope people don't misconstrue this, I would probably heavily reconsider how I go about picking my university.
Oh,
now
that's a touchy subject.
That's a very touchy subject. I made a lot of great memories.
Get ready for this text line. Yeah.
That is Brandon Sprague, 503. This isn't that hot of a take.
I wouldn't trade my experiences. I met my wife there. Yeah. I met a lot of friends. I had great experience in college. Uh-huh. But what does suck is the two sports you root for the most, when they're largely irrelevant, there's an element of that that absolutely does suck. And any Beaver fan that refuses to acknowledge this, I just do not believe you at all. Now, the baseball team has made it respectable, but even the 06 championship, I didn't follow that team at all. Mm-hmm. And I was at the university. And I'll just say, like, it's not like people go around that campus and talk about college baseball. It's not a... You go to the game? Like, people go to the game or they don't. They don't talk about it. Football was always like, where are we going?
Football's always a bigger deal.
Right? And basketball, depending on who was coming in, even though Oregon State was god-awful when I was there, the basketball games, to a certain degree, had a bit of that. The baseball team really didn't. But I knew people on the team, so I would root for them. I went to a couple games. Sometimes I feel a little lonely when my football team's not good and other people's college programs are. I get a little lonely on that one.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts here that rolled in at the fan text line. Somebody said, I would base my teams more off of ownership management ability to run a functioning franchise rather than because of a player. So he's going the opposite route of you. I would never pick the effing Lions as an adult. Touché to that. Somebody said, well, I started liking Nebraska, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Cleveland Indians in the 90s because my dad liked them. Would definitely rethink all of those fandoms in the current state of affairs. Yeah, you're feeling great. 90s, you got the Cornhuskers, the Cowboys, and the Indians. You're feeling phenomenal about your fandoms. And since then, been a little dry for all of
that. But see, I had the Niners and Braves. Like, that's the one thing.
You did in the 90s. You did.
We make fun of people who are bandwagon. We're all largely bandwagon.
Oh, for sure.
It's either because your parents or you're a kid and you see them on TV. But, like, even though the Niners have been in two Super Bowls in the last decade, they've lost both of them. And then in between that, they've sucked. The Braves, they sucked for like 4 to 5 years in a row. Then they finally got good, and they get waxed in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, I'd love this idea. You can text yours in, by the way, 503-250-1080. What criteria would you use, and would you change your fandoms? I was thinking about this. I agree with the – I can't go the player route because I love having – this is maybe a little psychotic to say. I like the heartbreak occasionally. Like, it makes the winning and the success when you eventually get there that much more sweet. And I'll use, like, because the example in baseball, I wouldn't change my fandom because of that. Now, it's easy to say because they won 3 world championships, but they had never won a title in San Francisco until 2010. And mm-hmm. they had the longest, or one of the longest droughts in all of baseball. The only times they went were in my quote-unquote lifetime, although I was obviously born in 89, so I don't remember the earthquake series, but they went and got swept by the A's. Then they went in 2002, and they should have won that series. They had a lead, and they blew it, and they blew game 6, then lost game 7, and I'll never forget that freaking rally monkey the rest of my life.
But, I hated that rally
monkey.
Right?
Like, so it was like that was my – those were my first – one of my first fondest – not fondest, but most prevalent sports memories was them losing in the World Series in 2002 and watching that with my dad and how heartbroken he was, and then I was heartbroken because he was heartbroken, and I didn't really understand what was going on. I was like, they're losing in the World Series.
Dad?
And then you fast forward to them winning it all in 2010, and it made it that much more enjoyable because you remembered what it was like when you lost. And if Oregon is ever to get to that point of winning a championship, the same thing would be the case because I've tasted the loss twice, and it sucks when you get that close and you can't overcome it. That it makes you enjoy it that much more. That's why I would never trade having a team fandom.
You know, the funny thing about that 02 World Series is I was in my living room with my dad cheering that on because he grew up as an Angels fan.
Yeah, well, as an Angels fan, that's what you got.
I haven't done much since then. As you.
Were you guys flapping your arms, Angels in the outfield style? No, let me ask you this, though. The one thing I've wondered, because I didn't have a dad around to kind of guide me with his favorite team, so I just picked whoever I liked on TV. I'm starting to put my fandom into my kids, and I'm actually kind of regretting that.
Why?
Because there's an element of I want them to be able to pick whoever they want versus that.
No, you fall in line.
But see, why do we do that?
you fall in line.
We put a burden.
This is how it goes.
You're going to root for the crappy team that I root for.
Dude, you're a Niners fan. The Niners have been, they had only a dark period there, but now it looks like things are going in the right direction.
Dude, Sands last year, they have been awful.
They went to the Super Bowl like 5 years ago.
2012.
They've been in 2 Super Bowls in the last decade. There's not many teams that could say that.
No, I know. I admitted that, but when you don't win it,
sure.
And then in between, you're not even like good. You just suck.
Yeah, you know the pain.
It's a Super Bowl and then it's 3 wins. And then it's a Super Bowl and then it's 4, 3, 2, 2, 1, Super Bowl.
The Braves have been largely good in your lifetime.
Not in the playoffs.
Not in the playoffs, sure, but they've been largely good. Let's not act like we're talking about the worst run team in all of baseball here. That's not all this heartbreak. There's some joys that come with that.
I often wonder, because my daughter is now used to go Beavs.
Mm-hmm.
49ers,
mm-hmm.
Blazers, LeBron.
Oh my gosh.
God.
LeBron.
Dude, I'm a huge LeBron fan. I don't know what you want me to say. I'm always going to be a LeBron fan until he doesn't play basketball anymore, and there's nothing I can do about that. Okay? But I kind of feel for my daughter. Like, what if she grows up and Oregon State football never changes from what they are? She's like, every year she's rooting for a 4-5 win team.
Well, buckle up, Buttercup. It's going to be a while.
It's going to build character. All right. You'll get through it.
And then Joe, like you're raising your kid to be a Pitt Panther fan.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. He was born in Eugene. I could see Autzen from his hospital room.
You specifically said you would root for Pitt against Oregon if they played.
Yeah. Me. That's not my son. I'm trying to make sure my son doesn't go down my path.
Any sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Don't make this mistake.
No, Joey's all Oregon, everything. He's locked in.
Tell he's a Beaver.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. The fan text on your Beavs, man. They had back-to-back years in the last decade that they had a chance to make the Rose Bowl.
It wasn't a decade. It was over a decade ago.
Well, 08, 09, so you're
calm down putting it in a decade.
You're close. They had a 10-win season in 2006.
Yeah, no, the 06, right? Yeah, no doubt about it. They've had some great times, but it's been a while now.
Almost made a bowl game last year.
I will say they're always surprisingly good in NCAA Football 14 on EA Sports. So, I mean, it's good for – whenever I see that, I'm like, hey, good for them.
That's because that game respected Mike Riley. I'll tell you, the last great year they had was the 2012 Beaver Juice season. Everything else has sucked.
Yeah, that was a good year.
I mean, like, last year was fun in the we're building to a bowl team thing, but – Like, that only is so good for so long. And then eventually it's like, well, cool, you've done that for a couple years now. Are we ever going to get over that hump? Or
get the Beaver Juice back, baby.
Yeah.
Okay, if you could change your sports fandom, by the way, if people are not happy with Sprague, let them have it. 503-250-1080. That's the fan text line.
I thought this was the trust tree. I thought we were being truthful here.
If you could re-choose any of your fandoms, knowing what you know now, what criteria would you use to pick those teams, and who would you pick? Because I got a couple of NFL teams that I've looked at that I would like to pick based on modern criteria. We'll get to those. Crunch time coming up next on The Fan. Visit
10. The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with the Beaverton Alola Division locations back up and running. I was at the Glorious House of Gains this morning.
Let's go!
Thank you, Buff Man. Membership special, $0 enrollment, $0 for the first 30 days. Stop by crunch.com.
Why didn't you send out a picture and try to flex on Zion today?
Yeah, I'm not quite that big. I went big the other way during quarantine. He went a different kind of big than I did during quarantine.
If he just keeps bulking up, is he going to win every championship? I'm kind of curious where his career is going.
The answer to that is no, but I'm glad that he's not going the tractor trailer route.
Yeah.
That was a little concerning because you got guys that don't take their physique very seriously. They can dominate because they're bigger and stronger than everybody, but eventually that goes away. So you have to develop something else in your game.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good sign that the pictures came out of him today, because we joked during quarantine, like, when they come back, who's the one player that's going to be fat? And everybody brought up Zion for sure, because when he came back after his injury, he was
hefty.
He was big. He was a big boy. So yeah, he's all ripped up. Everybody says he looks like Bane. Here's some thoughts on Brandon Sprague at the fan text line, 503-250-1080. Multiple boos rolled in. Multiple boos. Somebody said, way to kill the segment, Sprague. What else? There was some other ones here. Let me find them. Somebody said, Brandon is dead to me now. Another one said, Sprague is being the weakest of weak sauce. Players over teams, you're the guy who gets beer poured on him because everybody hates them. Then you double down and you dump the beef. This is pathetic. So there are some thoughts. Joe, would you change any of your fandoms knowing what you know now?
You know,
or what criteria would you want to use?
Not being embarrassed by my owner or coach. I was flirting with leaving the Cowboys a couple years ago, but I felt like I was being a little dramatic because I've been a fan of theirs as long as I can remember.
I'm not taking a shot at you. I'm sorry. You're the second Cowboy fan at this station that has said this. I'm just calling absolute bull malarkey.
Why?
I've heard that my whole life. Jerry Jones has been a moron for basically 20 years.
Well, and that's why I rescinded.
And all I hear is, I'm thinking about not being a fan.
I only did it once. And then I told myself, all right, you're being a little too dramatic here, okay?
But the point is, you're always going to be a fan. It's no different than what I'm saying. Now, does it sound great for me to say the thing about Oregon State? No, but here's the reality. I went to Oregon State. I'm a fan for the rest of my life.
Right. You're not getting out of
it. Just the point is, sometimes during college football season, admittedly, it'd be nice if my team was relevant.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. You're using it knowing what you know now. Because somebody texted in and said, I went to Oregon State 2003-2008. It was great. It's like, dude, at that point, you thought they were like in 2008-2009. They went away from going to the Rose Bowl and winning the conference, and you didn't quite see the next 10 years to come.
Yeah. I mean, when I was there, the football team was like really good and respectable. It was a consistent 8-win program who would push and maybe surprise people. And you have your 2008-2009 seasons where they're playing with a Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. So it's mainly tongue in cheek because I had such a great experience in college. But I do think the tough part with changing fandom is, one, saying it out loud, if you're being honest, feels odd. Right? Like, ultimately, you concluded you wouldn't change anything.
Well, hold on. So football's a little different for me in the NFL.
Okay.
So the NFL, like, I thought about this with the NFL. I think the criteria, Joe's right, you don't want an ownership group that's going to embarrass you, right? Like, you want you don't want Dan Snyder to own your team. right? Nobody's going to pick Washington out of this whole debacle. You want, I think, coaches that you can like and root for, general managers that you can like and root for.
And you can't pick it that way, though, because none of those are constants.
No, I'm just saying, like, those are the criteria that I'm using of looking at teams that have had a good run in my lifetime of those things and saying I would want to root for those teams. And the two that came to my mind for the NFL that I would like using that criteria to root for, because I don't want Patriots level of success. That makes you stuck up when you're winning Super Bowls for 20 straight years, or Alabama. Like, I don't want that stuff. I don't want the Yankees. I want winning, but to a certain level that will teach you lessons as a sports fan. The two that came to mind for me are the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
Because they've been consistently, they've been consistently good.
Gross.
They've won a Super Bowl this century. How's that taste? They've been consistently good.
Like, he's an Eagles fan. He said that like he was an Eagle fan.
The head coach, I mean, you had Andy Reid as your head coach for a long time. Now you have Doug Peterson. You had the weird period of Chip Kelly that you were like questioning everything you know about football, but they were smart enough to fire him knowing that it wasn't going in the right direction.
Some of my favorite years.
And they've had cool players to root for, right? Like, they've had cool guys come and go from the organization. They taught you heartbreak by going to five straight NFC title games, only winning one of them and then losing the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have probably the craziest Super Bowl win of the last 50 years of Nick Foles as a backup, outgunning Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, right?
Also, you got to give him this. I don't care how much you may hate the Eagles, despite what your current fandom is. You can't deny that that helmet is badass.
Dude, it's a great helmet. Good uniform.
The
passionate
wings,
fan base.
Yeah, I mean, right? I totally get where you're coming from. I think that's a bit too high.
Is that the other one that came? I know I'm giving myself a little bit too much. I'm trying to have some success, like in winning a Super Bowl here.
Oh, you can't be a complete loser.
I want to have at least one.
Nah.
The other one that came to mind for me would be Green Bay, because you've had.
I'm about to throw.
It's
up.
Literally the same. I mean, it might be.
Well, you've had two Super Bowls, so you had one in. I would have had one in childhood, one in adulthood. You've lost very heartbreaking games of Brett Favre throwing picks in an NFC title game when they should have won, and they lost to the Giants. The heartbreaking loss to Seattle in the NFC title game. You've only won two Super Bowls with two of the best quarterbacks to ever play in the entire NFL.
You've only had two?
God,
how dare you?
The Niners have won five, and you're a Niner fan. Get that S out of here. They've only won one more Super Bowl than the Niners in your lifetime.
I think they actually, before the Super Bowl, I think they won more if you count pre-NFL stuff. But
they've been to two since the Niners have been to two since Green Bay was last in a Super Bowl.
So you went a bit high, because I was thinking about this during the break of I had to repick an NFL team, because there's no doubt an NFL Sunday cannot be beat. When it's cold, you're wearing sweats, mm-hmm. you're wearing warm socks, you're huddled on the couch with a nice cold beer, and you're watching football all day. You can't beat having your team on. But if I was to have to pick a different team, I can't use general manager, because those dudes don't stick around, right? The continuity of success, that's not a given. Why do the Patriots suck largely all the time until
this is why
like
the question
late
is
90s,
knowing
early
what you
2000s?
Know now. So you can choose continuity if you want. It's what you know now.
Right, but the point of this exercise...
You don't know where it's going to go, but you know what you've known for your entire life.
That's what I'm saying, though. You can pick on what you know now. That doesn't mean squat in the next 20 years,
not.
Right?
No, so but that's the whole premise of the game, though.
I would pick a team that is accessible to me if I want to go to a game, and I want it on the West Coast. I'm bolting up. Bolts, baby.
A team that leaves a city to a city that doesn't want them?
Yep. I want them.
You're going to go Chargers?
Really? My arms are wide open.
Really?
Come give me a hug.
Why the Chargers?
Because the Rams are the only ones that get attention, so tickets are cheap.
Because it's the only team that LA wants.
Right. They're 2-hour flight away. They have a sick-ass uniform combination and logo. I kind of like that underdog story that nobody thinks they're going to do anything, and then maybe they have a great year.
Okay.
Big fan of Derwin James.
Guy who's been there for 3 years.
Was like injured all last
year.
2 years
maybe.
Hunter Henry, anyone? Huh? Ring a bell?
You mentioned Stan Humphries.
LT?
Yeah, LT's cool.
Huh?
Phillip Rivers, I could get behind that. His
Hell
bolo
yeah.
ties.
Now, if I do okay. change my team.
I don't think you can be. You can't pick a team that just won a Super Bowl.
Oh, I was going to say.
That falls right
Baltimore
back into the
Ravens
childhood picking thing, right? Like, I picked the Niners because they won and Jerry Rice was kick-ass.
Well, see, Philly had never won a Super Bowl until 2-3 years ago.
Right, but if you're picking now, you're picking a team that just won a Super Bowl.
But that would have said that basically your entire life you've gone with them without winning a Super Bowl. You got 1 year out of it.
What did you say at the start of this segment a half hour ago? you said there's a part of losing that makes the winning even better.
And the Eagles lost. They never won a Super Bowl until 3 years ago, so you would enjoy that.
But they're always playing for a Super Bowl. They're always
not.
in that position. They went to five NFC title games.
That's not a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's pretty close, though. That's a Final Four. And in college basketball, we count those.
No, I'm using what I know now. I would want a team that has had a little success, but not Patriots level of success.
I'm going to join the 13 people in L.A., and I'm going to go to a Charger game. Joke's going to be on you and Justin Herbert hoist the Lombardi trophy, too. Yeah,
I'd love to see that. Joe, are you repicking? Use your logic. What you know now, who would you pick?
I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going.
Dude, the Ravens are badass. Their defense has been locking it down for like two decades now. Ray Lewis, Ed Reed. I hate the Steelers, and I think when they won their sixth Super
Good rivalry.
Bowl.
You hate the Steelers?
Well, yeah, because they won the sixth Super Bowl, which surpassed them over the Cowboys, and that just really ruffled my feathers. And so every time I saw the Ravens beat the Steelers, I was stoked about that.
Yeah, you're cheering them on?
Yeah, definitely.
You got Lamar Jackson to root for. They've been consistently good. John Harbaugh's a good head coach.
Yeah, that's a good organization there. Yeah,
or you could go my route and root for Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. Fly those colors.
No, nobody likes that guy. Nobody wants to be that guy. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Beaverton, Aloha Division, back up and running. Go check them out.
Who's the crappiest team you would pick? Because
the Browns. If you're going to pick a team, it would be the crappiest team you could pick. It's got to be Cleveland.
You would pick Cleveland?
Yeah.
I tell you who I'd pick.
There's something about them being that bad. Like, eventually Cleveland's going to get good.
I kind of like the second team in every city. The team that is less than
Jets?
If you were to pick a New York team, I'm going Jets because everybody wants to be a Giant fan. I would think about the Buffalo Bills.
You go Buffalo. I'd think about Buffalo,
they
too.
They wanted to slam me through a table 2 years ago.
Passionate fan base. Four straight Super Bowls.
That did happen. But
I remember that.
Optimistic future. There's a lot of reasons you go for the Bills.
There you go. We'll read some of your thoughts on the other side. 503-250-1080. Joe's Plums coming up in the final hour of the show. We'll spring the line. Get your sponsors in. We're wrapping up our week, getting ready for the 4th of July. Next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.